Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Less Talk Trends. I'm Dawn, Content and Communications Lead of Lion Global Investors. Thank you so much for being with us here today. Joining us on this episode is Kenneth Ong, our Singapore Equities Fund Manager. Welcome back to the show, Kenneth. Great to have you again.
Thank you, Dawn. Great for inviting me here again.
Right, so on our last episode together, we spoke about inflation and its impact on the Singapore market, particularly equities. So today we're going to touch on a topic that is close to the hearts of many Singaporeans, that is Singapore real estate. So I think, you know, real estate in Singapore has always been regarded as kind of a safe haven investment area. And property prices this year have been steadily increasing or soaring, I would say, in both the public and landed space. So we have seen this year, earlier this year in March, when the Pinnacle at Duxton has made headlines of the most expensive HDB sold in Singapore for $1.4 million. And we've seen a few other HDBs also sold at similar quantum this year. And on the other hand of the spectrum, we have our good class bungalows, where we see it being snapped up by both foreigners and locals. A lot of CEOs of these big tech and pharma companies like TikTok, Secret Lab, are all getting into the GCB game, right? So with all that said, look at the macro backdrop. Interest rates are increasing and there's like an economic slowdown with even risk of recession next year. So how do we navigate all these factors put together, and what is your outlook on the Singapore real estate market?
Well, you know, the Singapore real estate market is something that is, on top of mind for everybody. So everyone in Singapore is essentially a real estate expert.
Yes.
So especially when it comes to short-term factors, you know, so when it comes to short-term price movements, the real estate prices are driven primarily by local demand and supply dynamics. For instance, like, completion cycles or demographic cycles. What I'm more keen on looking is actually on a longer-term cycle. In other words, the next 5 to 10 years, moving out through this decade into 2030. What is the direction of real estate prices looking out then? And I think that's more of an area that is less talked about, but I think it's also becoming very important, especially for people who look to invest in real estate for the long term. And the way I look at the long-term outlook is to look at the cycle of how money is being created, how it's being printed globally by the central banks, and how that impacts the broader real estate market. And I think we have to be open to the scenario that actually real estate prices moving towards the next decade are likely going to continue to go up as more and more money is being printed in the financial system.
Okay, that's a very interesting point that you're making about how this global money printing scenario is actually feeding through to the real estate market. Definitely not very talked about, I think, right now by the investment community. So please, give us an example about how this works.
Well, you know, we have seen highs in real estate prices in Singapore since the COVID pandemic.
Definitely.
But this phenomenon is not new. Across the world, real estate prices, say in the US or, you know, Germany or even in New Zealand, they've actually made new highs.
Yeah.
The common thing is that, you know, during this COVID pandemic, more money has been printed by central banks, and especially the US Federal Reserve.
Yes.
And they did this to offset the impact of the COVID pandemic on the economy.
Yeah, like stimulus packages, right?
Exactly, exactly. So this printed money is the essential factor that drives a coordinated increase in real estate prices across the globe.
Interesting.
So that is why our real estate prices, it's not just driven by local factors. You know, we also have to look at what's happening in this global phenomenon of, financial liquidity that's driving the real estate market.
Okay, so to the point on, taking kind of a global kind of macro backdrop, right? Isn't the Federal Reserve increasing interest rates? And shouldn't that actually negatively impact property demand? Which is interesting because this rising cost of borrowing doesn't seem to have derailed the Singapore property market as of now.
Well, definitely, so in the near term, the Federal Reserve is actually tightening.
Yeah.
They're raising interest rates. And this will tighten monetary conditions all the way down to the conditions in Singapore. Mm-hmm. So, yes, in the near term, our property market will probably face some headwinds. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as the Fed tightens, it could also potentially get into a situation that we might see a recession next year. So again, these are in the near term headwinds, as you rightly pointed out.
Right. And also, I think we're seeing our government, Singapore government, is tightening the property curbs, right? So we have seen a lot of increasing lending limits for housing loans as a response to rising interest rates to kind of dampen the exuberance and price appreciation in Singapore, which is also a headwind, am I right?
Yeah, so you rightly pointed out, government policies have also, tried to stem this increase, right? And, but, you know, the Singapore government has been very prudent and very astute in dealing with the low interest rate environment for the past 10 years due to, basically quantitative easing since the Great Financial Crisis. Indeed, our government has been proven right because, the past couple of years, the interest rates have actually skyrocketed. So fortunately, we have these government policies to thank for protecting consumers and preventing them from being overly indebted. Mm-hmm. So although we could be facing pressures and headwinds on our property prices in the near term, when we look at the long-term trend, we have to think, okay, let's look beyond this possible economic slowdown in 2023. What happens next? What happens, throughout the rest of the decade? And there's a case to be made that this money printing cycle is going to resume again, once we cross 2023 after the next recession and continue possibly throughout the next decade. And I think this is a very important scenario to consider, and yet, very few people are aware of.
Mm. Okay, so let's delve into this, right? You said this money printing cycle, given that the scenario is that we are going to face economic slowdown beyond 2023, as what you said, into the long term. So let's delve a little bit deeper into this, please.
So prior to the COVID pandemic, governments across the world had tight spending limits. So in other words, in order to balance they have to balance their spending with the amount of taxes they collect. Mm-hmm. The major shift that occurred during the COVID pandemic was that governments across the world ran large budget deficits to spend on support and stimulus packages to reflate the economy. In other words, the budget restrictions that the governments once had are now removed. And moreover, this spending is also supported by, the major central banks, especially the U.S. Federal Reserve, which printed money in order to help the governments spend this same money. Now, when governments start spending money without limits, history has shown us since the time of the Romans that, more and more money would be printed. It's the path of least resistance for politicians to solve crises and problems by spending their way out of it.
Yes, okay.
Yeah. So looking ahead into the next decade, we can see many possible crises. For instance, a geopolitical crisis, potential food crisis, and also in the longer term, climate change and energy crisis. All these crises provide the justification and use cases for governments to continue to print money and spend money to say, invest in green infrastructure, right? This helps the governments create jobs and solve political problems for them.
Okay, again, I think it's so interesting because obviously now we are in unprecedented times, very volatile, very uncertain environment. As you pointed out, there could be indeed a lot of crises that we're looking at on the geopolitical front, on the environmental front, climate front, food insecurity, etc. So indeed, putting all of this together, how does it, now bring it us back to the point, right? Tie in with property prices in Singapore.
Yeah, so during the past 10 years when, the financial system was dominated by quantitative easing or QE, property prices could go up because interest rates were low, right? So this enables home buyers to take larger amount of mortgages, right? So the incremental buyer that pushed property prices up would be the one that would take on a larger mortgage, right? But when the financial system now shifts towards one that is dominated by government spending, I think the real estate dynamics would behave quite differently. So under such circumstances, the incremental buyer that is pushing up the prices would be a cash buyer.
Not those with money.
Those with money, exactly, right? Not loans, right?
Yeah.
So this is because when governments spend on the economy, they essentially transfer cash to the population, right? It gets into the hand of the population. I'll give you an example. If you look at the Hong Kong real estate boom in the past 10 years, this was basically on the back of a major Chinese government infrastructure spend after the financial crisis. Yeah. So as a result, the incremental buyer of Hong Kong property were, you know, Chinese buyers flush with cash, right?
Yes.
And these were the ones who were pushing prices up. And similarly, if you look at, you know, the examples that you mentioned, you know, during this COVID pandemic, those purchases of good class bungalows, the GCBs, these the ones that made the headlines are the ones who, for instance, benefited from the boom in the tech sector, right? Essentially, such wealth creation was the product of, you know, the transfer of government stimulus, right, to tech entrepreneurs through consumer spending. So one of the signs that we are looking out in, you know, the real estate market, you know, moving beyond 2023, is whether we're going to see more and more cash buyers who are the incremental buyers pushing up the prices. That will be a key indicator that, yes, we're moving out into a new monetary and financial regime where government spending will be the key driver of money creation in years to come.
Okay, so just to kind of sum up your points, right, I'm seeing like keywords like a wealth transfer, government spending, and cash buyers. So basically, with all these government printing money, and it's now flooding down to the economy. And I think now we have benefited, a niche group of investors or a niche group of market, as you've said. And we're expecting it to be more broad-based, right, as we kind of go through the years into the next decade. It's kind of, you know, your thesis, which is, I think, is very interesting and definitely, you know, it's a very fresh perspective, I think, right, to kind of bring to how we should look at the Singapore property market. So how does this tie in with your overall outlook, you know, on Singapore equities?
So I think the steady rise in property prices in Singapore is good for the long-term economy in Singapore. And if we are correct and that, you know, global government spending is likely to continue into the next decade, this will ultimately support real estate prices in Singapore. Now, our banking system is a key beneficiary of rising property prices. You know, the higher the price of property, the more mortgages that the banks can issue, right? So, recently the earnings of our banks has been quite strong because they've been a beneficiary of rising interest rates. But I think the other driver for banks, moving into the upcoming next few years is that the asset basis of the banks will also increase, right? In other words, you know, the amount of mortgage that they can issue will also increase, and that would help to also drive bank earnings. So for that reason, I think, you know, banks as a key component of our equity index are going to do well. And so, you know, that's why I think that the Singapore equity market has a positive outlook.
Yeah, I think that's very good. We are very positive. We are positive on the Singapore equities market. And of course, Singapore equities market is very much anchored by Singapore real estate and Singapore banks, which both sectors you're very positive on. So that's all good news. So thank you so much for sharing your perspective with us, Kenneth. That's always very enlightening. Great to have you on the show, as always.
Thank you. It was very fun. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So you've been listening to Let's Talk Trends with me, Don Leong. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe to our show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and YouTube. Here we are at the end of the episode. Catch you guys again. Disclaimer. This advertisement has not been reviewed by the Monetary Authority of Singapore. This is for information only and is not a recommendation, offer, or solicitation. Information is subject to change without notice and is not to be relied on as advice. Investments are not guaranteed and are subject to investment risks. For more information, please visit www.lionglobalinvestors.com.